continue. So we'll take up item number 4, Russian River CSD.
So Kathleen Goodwin of your staff will be giving a presentation.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
Because of my involvement with Russian River and with other sewer systems in the West County, I will recuse myself of this issue.
Okay. And I will begin by reading the procedure statement. This is the time and place for hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider revisions of a National Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit in the matter of the Russian River County Sanitation District and the Sonoma County Water Agency. This item has been properly noticed. She'd explain the procedures for this hearing is available at the handout table. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand? Raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter? Thank you. At this time, we'll start with staff presentation. Ms. Goodwin.
So good morning, Chairman Anderson and members of the board. I'm Kathy Goodwin, staff engineer to the regional board. And the item before you for consideration this morning for item 4 is renewal of an NPDES permit for the Russian River County Sanitation District Wastewater Treatment Plant. This permit will also serve as waste discharge requirements and a master reclamation permit for the next 5 years. And this permit was last renewed by the board a little over 5 years ago. The hearing package that you have contains the staff report in green, the permit documents in goldenrod, and that would be the permit, the monitoring and reporting program, and the fact sheet. The response to comments document is in white, followed by comment letters in various colors, a single white sheet titled Changes Made by Staff, and a goldenrod sheet, which is the notice of public hearing. You also should have been given a late revisions package yesterday or this morning, and I plan to discuss that a little later in my presentation. At this time, I would like to enter the file into the record. So this morning, I'll be presenting a general overview of the wastewater treatment facility. I'd like to talk about recent and upcoming facility changes, and then a summary of how the proposed permit is different from the previous permit. And then I'll give a discussion of comments received on the proposed permit and staff's responses to those comments. The Russian River CSD is located in Guerneville, about 15 miles west of Santa Rosa. So we've got Guerneville right here. And it's located along the Russian River, and the river flows generally from towards the west along that slide. Okay. So the facility serves approximately 7,300 people in the communities of Rio Nido, Guerneville, Guernwood Park, and Vacation Beach. And the majority of the facility's flows are from residential users, and there's a small number of commercial users as well. We've got the north arrow here, and the wastewater treatment facility is located right here. The discharge outfall to the river would be here, and then I've shown upstream and downstream receiving water monitoring locations as well. This black box represents the area that I'm going to show in the next slide, which is an aerial photograph of this area. Oops. So again, here is the wastewater treatment plant, the location of the river outfall for wintertime discharges, and the upstream and downstream monitoring locations. During the wet weather season, the facility discharges tertiary treated effluent, which is then chlorinated and dechlorinated to the river at a rate of 1% of the flow of the Russian River, or it can discharge up to that rate. Staff is concerned that the receiving water monitoring locations may be located too far from the discharge outfall to provide meaningful data to determine compliance with receiving water limits in the permit. The upstream station is located about 1,000 feet upstream of the outfall, and the downstream location is 300 feet from the outfall and on the opposite bank of the river. During dry weather, effluent is recycled for irrigation at the Northwood Golf Course site, and then effluent that is in excess of the golf course's needs is irrigated as spray disposal on 17 acres of forested land adjacent to the wastewater treatment plant, and those are shown here as the Upper Birch and Lower Birch properties. The Upper Birch property is on steep slopes adjacent to the wastewater treatment plant, and the Lower Birch property is on flat land between the plant and the Russian River. The proposed permit views irrigation of the Lower Birch property as wastewater disposal because it is applied in an area that doesn't necessarily need the water and at rates that exceed the uptake rate of the vegetation in that area. Oops. And here we have the wastewater treatment plant. Wastewater flows into the plant at the headworks right here. It then flows to the aeration basins and then to the secondary clarifiers. These two processes make up the secondary treatment at this facility. Wastewater then flows to the tertiary filters, then to the chlorine contact chamber. And that water is then dechlorinated and stored in these ponds. This is a relatively small wastewater treatment plant. The facility was constructed in the late 1970s, early 80s, and is designed to provide treatment to an average dry weather flow of 0.71 million gallons per day. But the permit limits the allowed dry weather flow to the plant to 0.51 million gallons per day, and that's because the summertime reclamation capacity is limited to 0.51. While I've got this slide up, I'd also like to point out that this aeration basin and this clarifier were added just a few years ago during the term of the current permit. Oops. Through the early 2000s, there were numerous spills and bypasses at this facility during extended periods of wet weather flows. Because the plant had insufficient wet weather treatment capacity and the collection system, or much of it, is located in the floodplain of the Russian River. And these violations resulted in several enforcement actions that the board heard. During the last 5 years, the discharger completed several projects and operational changes to address its wet weather flow problems and improve the treatment plant performance. These include the third unit processes project, which added that third aeration basin and third clarifier, along with upgraded tertiary filters at the plant. In addition, the discharger implemented operational changes to reduce the potential for stormwater to enter the collection system and to control the amount of influent going to the wastewater treatment plant during wet weather periods. The facility needs additional upgrades to fully comply with all of its permit requirements. During the next 5 years, the discharger has plans to do three major projects. The first is construction of an ultraviolet light disinfection system to improve compliance with disinfection requirements in the permit and to eliminate chlorine and chlorine disinfection byproducts such as dichlorobromomethane. The second project is construction of an equalization basin to store influent flows that exceed treatment capacity during wet weather periods. And then the third project is expansion of the reclamation system. And like I said, currently the facility's dry weather capacity is lower than the dry weather treatment capacity of the plant. All past permits and the proposed permit address this shortfall in reclamation capacity by prohibiting dry weather flows greater than 0.51 million gallons per day. Expansion of the reclamation system should also address the problem of overwatering at the Birch property. The proposed permit contains numerous changes from the previous permit. The permit contains new and stricter effluent limitations for discharges to the Russian River. These effluent limitations for copper, nitrate, ammonia, dichlorobromomethane, and chlorine residual implement various statewide policies for toxics, nutrients, and pathogens, as well as implementing federal criteria. Next, the permit contains new land discharge specifications to implement the Department of Public Health's Title 22 regulations to ensure that land disposal of treated effluent doesn't cause exceedances of drinking water standards. And then third, the permit contains new receiving water limitations for total dissolved solids and conductivity to implement basin plan water quality objectives. Additional changes to the permit are summarized on this slide. Compliance schedules and interim limits for copper, ammonia, nitrate, and chlorine residual are included to allow time for the discharger to determine the measures that are needed to comply with final effluent limits for these constituents and to implement those measures. The proposed permit establishes the discharger as a master water recycler in accordance with Water Code Section 13.5.23, and this is to facilitate water recycling projects. UV system or UV disinfection requirements implement the Health Department's Title II regulations and ensures that the discharger can transition to its new ultraviolet light disinfection system when it is constructed. Groundwater monitoring at the Birch property is needed to assess compliance with groundwater receiving water limits associated with land disposal operations. Evaluation of receiving water monitoring stations would address the concern that staff has about the receiving water monitoring stations being too far from the discharge outfall. The permit contains several requirements to ensure that the collection system and wastewater treatment facility are operated in a manner to prevent or reduce the potential for spills and bypasses, and this has been, you know, one of the big problems over the years. And then stricter spill reporting provisions implement requirements of the statewide collection system policy or collection system permit. Now I'd like to address comments received on the proposed permit. The Sonoma County Water Agency submitted comments in their role as facility operator and co-permittee. Of the 45 comments that were submitted, 25 addressed clarifications, corrections, and typos, and these were addressed with minor changes to the permit. The remaining comments addressed the topics that I've highlighted on this slide. Staff has worked out most of these issues with the discharger, with the exception of the first one highlighted in red. In the interest of time, I'm going to focus on the first two issues here, but I would be happy to talk about any of the issues if the board so desires. So dry weather flow increases. The discharger requested that the permit allow the executive officer to authorize increases in the allowed dry weather capacity of the treatment plant up to the facility design capacity of 0.71 MGD as the reclamation system capacity is increased. Staff's response explained that increases in dry weather capacity raise concerns about increased connections and resultant increases in pollutant loads discharged. The permit currently holds the discharger to an average dry weather flow of 0.51 million gallons per day, but the discharger could potentially request increases up to the full design capacity of 0.71 MGD, and that would could potentially amount to a 39% increase in average dry weather flow capacity. Any change in permitted capacity requires additional information that would help staff develop an anti-degradation analysis to use as part of the decision-making process, and this process should be done in a public forum with the consideration and approval of the board. So staff did not make this change to allow the executive officer to authorize increases. And I believe this is the one issue that the discharger may still have disagreement with, and they'll talk to you about that when they come up.
Kathy, if I can interrupt. Just, you made two points there, having difficulties raising that from 0.51 to 0.71, and said an increase in or a change in the amount of discharge.
We're talking about, actually, right now the permit, the facility has a design capacity for dry weather of 0.71 million gallons per day, but the permit actually has a limitation in the prohibition section that limits average dry weather flow to 0.51. So I'm not quite sure what your question is.
Well, it went by me. I was trying to repeat your point as to the basis being that they would need to demonstrate it. If there was an increase, it would involve a change in the amount of material or discharged.
Right. As average dry weather flows increase, these are flows that aren't impacted, that aren't affected by dilution or, you know, from stormwater, and so there would be higher loadings coming into the plant, and staff is concerned that those would have effects in the wet weather season as well by way of having higher loads, you know, higher BOD, total suspended solids loads, and other pollutant loads in the discharge to the Russian River.
Because I get that is the way I read the comment in the white pages response, that the concern was in the wet weather side of things.
That would be where the biggest concern is. There could be potential concerns during dry weather too. But the wet weather concerns are, you know, what, you know, would have the biggest potential effects.
All right. Well, we'll come back to that, I'm sure.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and talk briefly about compliance schedules. The discharger won't be able to meet the final effluent limits in the permit for dichlorobromomethane. These limits actually went into effect in November under the term of the existing permit. And they won't be able to meet these limits until the ultraviolet light disinfection system is completed. They also are concerned that they won't be able to meet final effluent limits for copper by May 2010, which is the date in the permit, and that's the date that the state implementation policy for toxics control sets for final compliance with final effluent limits for any CTR, California Toxics Rule pollutant. In response to the discharger's comment and concerns on this issue, Staff identified the need for the discharger to document that it has made diligent efforts to comply with its final effluent limitations for dichlorobromomethane and copper. And with the submittal of appropriate information, staff would propose to prepare a cease and desist order to extend the time schedule for the discharger to be able to comply with these limits. And this cease and desist order could come back to the board sometime before the next discharge season, either late this summer or early fall.
Okay. Kathy, I'll go back on that slide. In your comment, you made that those two in red, what about the four in white? Are those ones where the staff's in agreement with the position, or they're just lesser disagreements?
Actually, as based on conversations with the discharger, we have come to agreement with on these issues. So that was the reason I didn't go into more detail, but I'd be happy to if anybody has any questions on those issues.
But then there have been changes made to that they were responding to?
There were so many comments. In some cases, there were actually changes in the permit document, and in other cases, we were able to explain, why we weren't making changes in the permit document.
All right. Ms. Dean?
Yeah. Can you explain a little bit about the changes in the monitoring?
Let me check my notes here just to capture them. Oops. Sorry about that. Let's see. Changes in monitoring. I'm trying to remember now some of the exact things. I'm on the wrong slide here. That's why. Okay. Monitoring changes, boy, they were fairly minor changes. I'm trying to draw them into my mind right now. I am having a little trouble thinking through those ones. They were fairly minor. I can't recall right off the top of my head what those particular ones were.
I think I recall there were some changes regarding new constituents for copper. Wasn't there new monitoring for?
Well, those were in the original proposed document. The changes in the monitoring were fairly minor.
There were also changes to the BOD and TSS into Russian River.
That's what it was. Staff incorporated some changes to require monitoring for settable solids, thank you, Kim, settable solids and total suspended solids for discharges to the Russian River. The permit has always had monitoring requirements for BOD and total suspended solids going into the storage pond, but staff wants to evaluate whether changes in the storage pond affect the levels of total suspended solids and settable solids going into the Russian River, and that is because the Russian River is listed as being impaired for sediment, and total suspended solids and settable solids are components of sediment. So those were the main changes.
Thank you.
Does that help? So if there aren't any other questions.
We have one more.
Okay.
Can I ask a question, Kathy?
Sure.
On the bottom one, receiving water location evaluations. It looks like this has been an issue with staff for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that it would behoove not only the discharger but staff to have accurate information on receiving water and effluent limitations as they pertain. Is there a date that's set in here that's final where this evaluation of these monitoring points has been a compliance date on that?
Yes, and I don't recall the exact dates in the permit. Kim is looks like she's flipping through. We require a proposal, I believe, by this September, if I'm remembering the dates correctly. And I think 2014 comes to my mind. Oh, okay. So I guess we're giving a year. There's so many dates in here. I'm sorry. It's hard to remember.
That's okay.
All of the dates. But the language is specific about when we want both the report that describes how they're going to go about it and then a final report.
Also on the on that thread of monitoring, the Birch property, just a rough back of the napkin, cocktail napkin calculation, it looks like from Northwood, which is 43 acres, we're putting approximately 85,000 gallons a day on that, which I have to assume is agronomic rates of some kind. You said that basically, and it could very well be true, that Birch property is beyond agronomic rate. So we're actually putting on 17 acres, we're putting about 250,000 gallons a day, so it's about seven times that water. There are monitoring wells there now, is that correct?
There are monitoring wells, and as now that the permit contains requirements to monitor groundwater, the discharger is looking more closely at those wells. They have not been used for a number of years, so they are going to evaluate their status and whether they're able to use those wells for the groundwater monitoring, and if not, they would need to look into installing new wells.
And did we come to agreement on, because there was some comments in here about the compliance date that those wells would be evaluated, those wells are existing, and it seems to me that that's of importance here because we have a exceedingly dry year now. Land discharge, and this is land discharge, this is not reclamation, correct, on the Birch property?
Correct.
And that it seems to me that that is a high priority to me that we actually evaluate those wells sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Because
and I
that
would
is
agree.
Because that is the primary means that this water, this plant actually looks like it makes reasonably good water. It is tertiary, and it looks mm-hmm. like there has been a history of this plant, but there's also been quite a lot of work done. But in the interest of looking at disposal, that yeah. land disposal is going to be more than ever now important during this dry year because, in essence, I would imagine the discharge to river is very low right now, at 1% flow even. That flow of that river is very low. So mm-hmm. the date, again, sooner than later on those monitoring wells to make sure that we have an adequate monitoring well network, that they are properly screened, constructed, mm-hmm. and that they give accurate data is very important, mm-hmm. I think.
Right. And the permit requires that they evaluate the existing wells, and if those wells are able to be used, they need to begin sampling groundwater by this September. If the discharger finds that those wells are unusable, I believe the permit gives an extra year to identify a groundwater monitoring plan, establish the well locations, and get them drilled.
And from that standpoint, can I just take that a step further? If we ask that those wells be sampled and monitored, we have an upgrading well and two downgrading wells, I believe. Do we use some type of analysis of variance or an intra-well analysis of statistics to show what discharge to land here is doing to groundwater?
The permit contains groundwater receiving water limits that require that there cannot be a statistically significant degradation in groundwater. So, yes, statistical methods would need to be used to evaluate that data.
Is that in the permit now, as it's written, that we require statistical analysis of some type, to your knowledge?
By way of those groundwater receiving water limits.
Yeah, and I have to say, this is a huge permit. This is a lot.
I agree with you.
To ask you questions specifically about it is probably very trying, but
this
my issue.
This is a fairly new facility for me. I was assigned it last summer, so I'm still coming up to speed on some issues related to the plant. But I agree with you. This is a very big permit.
It is. Thank you.
Thank you. So are there any other questions? If not, I will move on to the next slide. The Russian River Watershed Protection Committee submitted a letter with numerous comments on the topics that I've listed on this slide. Staff considered all of the comments submitted, and our response to comments document describes how these issues are addressed in the permit. I'd like to focus on this first issue, unregulated pollutants. But again, if there are any other questions, I'd be willing to discuss any of the other issues with the board. So the term unregulated pollutants refers to a broad range of chemicals that currently are not subjected to regulations. You may have heard synonymous terms such as constituents of emerging concern or pharmaceuticals and personal care products. The Russian River Watershed Protection Committee commented that the proposed permit does not appear to acknowledge the fact that unregulated chemicals are present in the effluent and does not include any requirements to address this concern. I'd like to start by pointing out that this issue is not unique to this discharger. It's an issue of much broader concern and requires a broader approach, you know, on a statewide level to address it. Although studies are finding low levels of these types of pollutants in the environment, our knowledge and understanding regarding these pollutants is incomplete. There are limited monitoring protocols and no water or water quality objectives established yet. I'd like to discuss how the proposed permit does address these issues. The permit requires that the discharger have a source control program that covers a number of different elements, but one of those would be the need for a public education and outreach component. And this is the discharger's opportunity to educate dischargers to their system about what can and cannot be discharged to the sanitary sewer. Sonoma County Water Agency and Russian River CSD also have a successful drug take-back program that is going on in Guerneville, and that has also been duplicated in other areas of Sonoma County very successfully. Another thing that the permit has is discharge limitations. Due to our strict basin plan standards, permits in the North Coast region do not allow year-round discharges, and then they also have the 1% limitation on discharges to receiving waters. And these limitations provide protections for surface water discharges that aren't even used in other parts of the state. And then finally, I wanted to talk briefly about what the State Board is starting to do in regard to this issue. The recycled water policy that will go to the State Board next week for adoption proposes the establishment of a Blue Ribbon Committee, which would be an advisory panel of scientific experts to provide guidance to the State Board regarding this issue. So I hope this is a comprehensive coverage of how we are addressing that issue now. And then finally, comments were received from two other commenters, the State Department of Public Health and a private citizen, Ken Berry. And all of these comments were easily addressed. Oops, wrong way. Late revisions are summarized in the late revisions package that you received yesterday or this morning, I'm not sure which. There are numerous changes that constitute minor modifications to the permit. Then I wanted to point out that there were some late revisions that came yesterday, and so there are two extra pages at the end of the late revisions document that recommend correction of erroneous dates in the fact sheet related to the discharger's environmental documents for its equalization basin project and reclamation expansion project. Basically, the dates on those for certification of those projects got reversed in the fact sheet. And then finally, the late revisions document includes an improved facility location map.
That was appreciated.
A lot easier to read than what was in the permit. So that concludes my presentation. And if you have any additional questions, I would be happy to answer those. And otherwise, staff's recommendation would be to open the hearing for public comments and then to adopt order number R1-2009-3 with the changes described in the late revisions document. Are there any questions?
Taking a moment here just to go through the late revisions and see if any of them appear significant enough to call out and talk our way through, or if board members have any questions. I mean, there is quite a slew of them. But my sense is their clarification of wording and getting things correct.
That's true.
Not affecting the overall discussion.
Correct. When we received responses to comments after the public comment period, there were numerous changes made, you know, in that before you got the current version of the proposed permit. And in some cases, a change was made in the permit and a similar section of the fact sheet was overlooked. A number of the comments are due to that kind of thing. And most of the others are clarifications regarding to help clarify when reports are due, such as, you know, annual reports. In some cases, we discovered that there was still language in sections where it didn't belong. But that was the nature of the changes.
All right. Any other board member questions for staff? Then we'll have a card from the discharger, Pam Jean.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. It's quite a hefty packet to bring up here with me. I am Pam Jean, Deputy Chief Engineer of the Sonoma County Water Agency, and I appreciate having the opportunity to speak to you today. First of all, I did want to mention, and maybe I shouldn't call it mentioning, but I do appreciate your staff taking the time to speak with us during this permit process and help clarify things for us, as well as I felt like they really listened to us when we were talking about things that we didn't necessarily agree on. And as Kathy pointed out, there are a couple of items that I think we've agreed we're going to disagree on at this point. And unfortunately, she only had two highlighted up there on the screen, but there's actually probably more like three items that we are still in disagreement on. And one item that goes to the question that Ms. Dean asked with regards to changes in monitoring in the permit, and I'll get to that at the end of my comments. First of all, the one prohibition that Kathy mentioned in her presentation having to do with the prohibition on average dry weather flow of 0.51 million gallons per day is based on the current reclamation capacity at the plant. The permit recognizes that limitation. It also recognizes the fact that the treatment plant has a capacity to treat 0.71 million gallons per day. We would like to expand reclamation out there. We have a certified environmental document. We would like to move forward with finding new users, and I think it's going to be difficult for us to do that if new users know that we don't have a permit that allows us to do that. So I don't think that's the intent here. However, I think the restriction in the permit does cause us some issue and could cause us some delay, which I don't think is intentional. As I said, I don't believe that the permit intends to do that, but as written, I do believe it does do that. So we'd like to continue to try to figure out a solution to that problem. Just because average dry weather flow permitted capacity goes up does not necessarily mean that there's more discharge to the river if, in fact, all of that flow is used for reclamation purposes. So we do have a disagreement with staff on that. The other item that I think we don't necessarily have a disagreement on with staff, but we did want to alert you to the fact, as Kathy forewarned you, I think, that we do have a final effluent limit for dichlorobromomethane that's already kicked in for this particular district today. And we have a copper limit that is to kick in next spring. And we cannot meet those limits for either one of those constituents right now. As far as the dichlorobromomethane goes, we have a solution. We've got a design for a project. We have a certified environmental document for the project. And we are waiting for state funding. I haven't heard that SRF loans are not going to be funded, but hopefully we will get to that solution by 2011. As far as copper goes, we have done quite a bit of work looking for sources of copper out in our system. We have not identified any sources other than really the drinking water supply. And we have monitored and gone out and looked at all of our quote-unquote industrial uses, which there really aren't any out there. There's restaurants and resorts, and that's it. We also tried to change our sampling technique for copper to see if it made any sort of difference in the results that we were getting, the concentrations we were seeing, and it did not. So we did give it a try. It didn't make any difference. As our chemists, the engineers thought we should give it a shot, our chemists were saying it's not going to make any difference. It's not going to make any difference, and they were right. So, in any case, there are two possible solutions to this that we've identified, one of them being providing corrosion control within the water system that serves the community out there. This is the drinking water side that water eventually makes it into the wastewater treatment plant. That, of course, would be a pretty lengthy process. The community would have to buy off on it. We don't run the water system out there, so that would be a very hard thing to do. However, it is possible. Probably more likely, a solution for us would be to do some modeling work in the river itself. We do have quite a bit of dilution happening with regards to our discharge. Typically, when we're discharging, there's thousands of cubic feet per second of water in the river, or at least 8,000 cubic feet per second, and we're discharging at a very low number. So that may be a solution for us, too. We will be requesting a cease and desist order, as Kathy mentioned, from the board, hopefully to be adopted prior to the next discharge season. So you can expect to see us back in front of you. We do need to compile. We have some of the information Kathy mentioned compiled with regards to that, but some of the rest of it needs to be compiled and submitted. And lastly, this was one of the bullet items on Kathy's slide. It had to do with the receiving water monitoring locations. And we do have, we recognize that we do need to investigate potential monitoring locations. We do intend to do that. However, and I think Kathy mentioned this, it's really important to us that those sites be able to be accessed safely by our employees. And we have gone out and looked in the past for new sites and have not been able to identify sites that we either had access to or that were safe. So we are a little bit concerned about this. And we also don't like the idea of if we can't find something that in the year 2011, I think is the date in the permit, that our receiving water sampling would be automatically turned to the outfall location. That just doesn't seem acceptable to us and doesn't seem appropriate with regards to receiving water limits. So that's our issue there. We will be looking. We intend to look. But again, if we don't find something that's satisfactory to your staff, what we're seeing is a compliance problem, and we feel it's inappropriate to have that be sort of the fallback position in the permit. And lastly, this goes to the question that Ms. Dean asked. She asked what the changes in monitoring were in the permit. And actually, this is one of the things I was going to bring up this morning. And it's not just the additional monitoring, but the additional reporting that's been added between the last permit and this permit. And I'm not talking about the response to comments, but the actual changes from the last permit to this permit. There are new monitoring locations requirements, as Kathy mentioned to you, for groundwater. 6 constituents in 3 locations quarterly. There are new land disposal monitoring requirements that include 7 constituents monthly. There are new receiving water monitoring requirements, which include 180 more constituents approximately over the next 5-year term in 2 locations. And there's also a lot of additional reporting requirements in this permit. Those requirements are tied to the incorporation of the new effluent limits, as well as compliance schedules issued for copper, dichlorobromine, methane, ammonia, nitrate, TDS, chloride, sodium, and aluminum. And this is the significant thing to me. There are 22 more reports required in addition to the normal monthly reports and annual reports in this permit. And the cause of concern for me specifically is that I deal with the budget for this particular district. As Kathy mentioned, there's about 7,300 persons that discharge to this particular facility. And there's a lot of burden being placed on those ratepayers to pay for a lot of reporting, whereas there's a lot of other work to be done. And I just want you to recognize the fact that that money is being diverted to do that and to be developing reports and writing reports, and some of that money will not make it into improvements because of that. So I just want you to recognize that. I'm not asking that any of those be removed, but I would like it to be recognized. And again, I do want to thank staff, Kathy and John Short and David Leland, and I'm sure there were others who met with us over the term of the draft permit, and really were helpful. As I said, we agree to disagree at some point, but everybody is okay with that. So, and with that, I'll answer any questions if there are any.
Okay. Board member questions? Mr. Corbett.
Yes, I had one. I understand your concern on the monitoring, and I assume you understand our concern. We got to ensure
Absolutely.
There's adequate monitoring.
Absolutely.
And I understand you don't like our solution to that if you're unable to get it. What alternative solutions do you have where we can ensure monitoring that you think might better handle?
Yeah, well, we've actually had some, we've been in contact with some of the other dischargers in the region, and actually Kathy and John, I think, told us to talk to some of them because they're coming up with some unique solutions for how they can sample without having to put their personnel at risk. And I'm hoping we can find something. The risk to me, though, is to have the permit say very specifically that if you don't figure it out, you automatically get shunted into this. You have to, you know, your compliance point is then at that discharge location. That's my concern. So,
well, just would you come back to us then and ask for a modification if you can show
sure.
the good faith
yeah.
effort? I think that
if
might be
if we did
it
and we had enough information, yeah.
We really legally got to show that we can prove the permit's being complied with.
Yes.
And
I understand.
It's not really a valid permit. And I fully appreciate the difficulties you have on getting a safe monitoring site. So mm-hmm. that might be a way to handle it.
All right. We may dig in on that.
We're not shy, so
public
when
comment
we want stuff,
as well.
We ask for it. Don't worry.
Mr. Hales.
And this is just building off of what Mr. Corbett was saying, is that so it's not so much the challenges of monitoring the receiving water. It sounds like you're exploring different techniques and what other districts are doing for
yeah.
those methods. And
as far as physically
the
out there, I don't think there's another way of doing it physically. So we've got to figure out another way of making it happen. So.
And Pam, when you said 22 reports, is that per year or per the life
per
of the
life of the permit?
Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody else? Go one card from the public, Brenda Edelman.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Brenda Edelman, representing Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I've been tracking this system closely since it first was built, and live in Guerneville, so I'm very familiar with it. In fact, I got my start in environmental work because of this project. It's because of that that I'm here today. At any rate, there's some. I want to say that I too feel staff did a good job, and I basically agree with the permit and would feel supportive of it. But I did have some comments, and basically this whole capacity issue and the problems with the treatment plant, it has always had really great problems. And even with the building of the additional facilities, nevertheless, last year it was fined $99,000 that I think covered about 2 or 2.5 years worth of penalties. And so there are a lot of problems with the system, and the problems relate to a great extent to the inadequate storage and inadequate irrigation capacity. When the system was first built, they expected that the Birch property would take 4 times less than it's taking now, and that the golf course would take 4 times more than it's taking now. The golf course, though, had a contract saying they take what they want to take, and so they decided they couldn't take nearly as much as what the design flow called for. So that put a lot more pressure on the Birch property, which used to be called the Silver property and Georgia Pacific property. And there were lots of issues around the trees, and there was really over-irrigation going on. For all I know, it's still being over-irrigated. And there were lots of issues about whether that was reaching the groundwater or not. It is out of the floodplain, but one of the big problems with the system is that almost half the collection system is within the floodplain. So that when they did the improvements to the system, that really helped with smaller floods. The biggest flood since I've lived there was in 85, or was it 86, I'm sorry. And that flood got up to about 49 feet. That was huge. Most floods, the average flood, well, flooding in Guerneville starts at about 32 feet to give you an idea of the range. So up to about 38 feet, I can still drive from Rio Nito to Guerneville and the street doesn't get flooded. Once you start going over 38 feet, you start having people getting blocked out of various streets and whatnot. And by the time you get to 42 feet, it starts getting serious. And it's about 42 feet where, after the expansion was built to the system, there was about a 42-foot flood around New Year's of 05-06. And there were some breakdowns at the plant, and that was partly the basis for these penalties last year, was a carryover, I believe, from that flood. So that the idea that the new facilities would handle the extra flow just didn't really pan out, and the basic need for the system is storage in the wintertime because the river gets gigantic during the high flows. And because of collection system, so much of it's in the floodplain, there's enormous amounts of infiltration and inflow into the system. So that becomes a big problem. I know a lot has been done to correct that, but the truth is, we don't. There may be problems. We have lots of trees, and there's probably roots getting into the pipes. I haven't heard a recent report, but I would imagine there is a lot of infiltration and inflow. And in fact, if you look at the summer flows in comparison to the winter flows, most of the extra flow is a matter of infiltration and inflow. So the system is really challenged, and it was really built in a very difficult environment as well. So you have the problem with the irrigation and with the winter flows. And so there were two EIRs for two projects. The EIRs on the system have a long history, but the short story is there was a proposal by the water agency. Here we have a small system with really relatively few hookups. There's about 2,600 ratepayers on the system. And the water agency, as managers of the system, proposed a 35-mile pipeline project that would go down one road to the Grayton area and come back and river road the other way. They didn't put a cost figure on it, but my guess is it had to be over $20 million project. And that was the main project in the EIR. And a lot of people and communities really protested that project. So most of us felt they could do a really small project, that they needed maybe 100 acres or less somewhere to take care of the extra irrigation area they needed. So they certified that EIR, but they did not select a project. I don't know if they have any sites identified or not that are a lot closer to the treatment plant that won't require a lot of energy and expense. Our community, we have some of the highest rates in the county, if not the state. We're paying almost $1,000 a year per hookup, and that's pretty significant. And yet our system, we need the disinfection. Our group is not opposing that at all. We had concerns about this outrageously sized, oversized irrigation proposal. And then with the storage, there's another problem. They put out an EIR on a potential increase in storage. It's our understanding they need a lot more than would be covered in this proposal that would take in the area of 3 million gallon storage proposal would fit at the treatment plant. They really need a lot more than that to take care of all flows under all scenarios, but it would help to have a 3 million gallon storage area. But the problem is that has all kinds of slope instability. They've had major slides either right before you get to the treatment plant and at the treatment plant site. And they did a lot of engineering studies on the site, but they didn't do any studies on the slopes above the site. And we had a professional geologist, registered geologist, give comments on that, and we have not seen any of the response to comments, and that was like about 8 months ago. So that's kind of where things stand. I mean, there has been a lot of concerns about cost because, as it is, you know, these are expensive projects. And so we want to see the system improved. And all of this is meant to say that I don't think you should raise the capacity limits in those until those projects are online and the system is really viable. They say the design is 0.71, but the truth is without these projects in place, it really isn't, unless you allow all kinds of violations and excursions of the limits. Then you could say it's 0.71. And the only other thing is that the PRMD has, there's a document in your packet that I added, that where PRMD is justifying a considerable amount of growth just based on the 0.51 number. They're saying we could get something like, well, I don't remember the number and I don't want to misrepresent it, but it's in the packet there, how many new units they could get just with that limit. And they weren't even worried about the 0.51 limit. So from our point of view, we definitely don't want to see the points go full capacity until those problems are dealt with. And I'm happy to answer any questions about that, if anyone has any.
I have one, Brent. Until things are dealt with or projects are online, I want you to go back over your list of projects then that need to be brought online.
Well, they definitely need more irrigation, but I don't think they need the humongous project they designed in the EIR. I think they need, you know, maybe even 75 acres somewhere in the community nearby where you don't need a lot of energy to transport the wastewater. And I know there are problems in our area because we have a lot of steep hillsides and we have a floodplain. I mean, it's a very constrained area environmentally for these projects, and so it is a problem, but it does need to be resolved somehow.
But you're saying it's on the irrigation capacity that needs fixing?
I don't remember the numbers, but I'm just guessing if they even found 75 acres somewhere, that would deal with the extra room they need to apply more irrigation water to come up to capacity. And that's just a rough guess. I don't know for sure. But and then the other thing is they need more storage for the winter. The winter's a really big problem. Of course, this winter it's no problem at all. But
and are you saying more storage on the above the 3.5 for flood flows, or are you saying more storage capacity after treatment? And
I think the 3.5 would solve most problems. I don't know if it would solve the 1986 problem. There were also huge amounts that went through in 95 where I think as much as 10 million gallons a day went through the system for a few days. And I don't know. I don't think the 3.5 would deal with those scenarios, but they happen so seldom that if they even just got 3.5 million, that would probably give a huge improvement to the system under more scenarios than what it has now.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
For the board, Brenda's comment about PRMD is at the bottom of page 4 of response to comments. Actually, now it's in her comment, November 30th. Okay, we'll come back to staff, and I don't have any additional cards. Anyone else? Public comment?
Mr. Chairman, a clarification for the record, if I may. With regards to enforcement, the last administrative civil liability complaint issued to the Sonoma County Water Agency and Russian River County Sanitation District covered the period between October 04 and May of 07, and there were mandatory minimum penalties in the amount of $77,000 and a discretionary penalty covering spills up $22,000. There have been no violations since April of 06.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. I saw somewhere in here, I put my hand on it at the moment, but the number of days at these higher flows by year, and that chart's the similar kind of dates that you've identified here, going back to the 2004 through the current time.
Pardon me, Mr. Chairman, which chart are you referring to?
Oh, who knows? I think it's in the discharger's evaluating the number of days of excess flows. No, it's not. It's not.
Was it in the permit?
No.
No, it's backup material. It's all right. It's not a... Other comments? I am going to ask, my brain goes dead here, in terms of staff have, my sense of the permit sets forth some conditions or requirements that if they're met, then I think it's tied to the capacity question and trying to sort out if we're saying that if some of these projects for irrigation are approved and in place, what happens and how do we connect all of the dots of, or do we just start over again and have this discussion one more time, or do we have a proviso in the permit that guide future decisions based upon future things happening?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is John Short. I'm a senior engineer in the Corps Regulatory Section. The issue about flow capacity for the plant, this wasn't something the water agency applied for in their application. So this is a relatively new issue where they're asking for re-rating the capacity of the plant. And although we believe many components of the plant can handle more flow, there are still some issues regarding reclamation area and the impact of increased flow on the river. And so we did not have that information available for this permit, but we have guaranteed the water agency, once that information is provided, once we're sure they have additional capacity for reclamation, once they provide documentation about impacts to the river, that we will reopen this permit and reconsider bumping up the capacity to what they're asking. But right now, they don't have that in place, so we can't make that change. And as you heard, it will be controversial, so we did think that this would be best to bring before you to modify the permit as opposed to doing it at staff level.
I guess just as a person who reads this stuff from the top to the bottom, and don't start, sometimes I think I should read it the other way around. You go back and get the older stuff and read it, see how it changes with time, which is what, but I'll take you, John, to the first page of item 4 in the green sheets. And first paragraph appears to be the second sentence. Discharger submitted and applied for NPDES permit renewal to discharge an average dry weather flow of up to 0.71. And that paragraph concludes the application was deemed complete on October 16th. So my brain started there.
Okay.
They applied for it. You decided it was complete, and when I got to the other page where it said they were prohibited going above 0.51, I made a little check because that wasn't congruent considered with what I'd read earlier.
Because it's always been held to 0.51.
And I haven't gone back to read the permit and application to see what they did apply for, but
I'm hearing that that sentence is in error. So I can see the confusion. The actual application was for the capacity reflected in the rest of the permit, 0.51.
There was no additional request to increase the capacity reflected in the report of waste discharge. This sentence should have said, well, it should have said 0.51, or it should have clarified that although the design capacity is 0.71, the permit has historically been limited to 0.51.
And are we okay on the wet weather side, 3.5?
We are. This is a very challenging plant, and we believe the Water Agency has made tremendous strides in trying to deal with flood flows. And it's a combination of increasing the plant capacity by adding these new units and trying to control the amount of flood water that gets into the collection system. So it's a real dual approach, and it does take a lot of management by Water Agency staff to get out there during the floods and try to control inflow into the system. We haven't had any floods since they implemented these measures, but we think that it will make conditions much better than they were during the high flows in the 90s.
All right. To the issue of monitoring and finding a safe location to do that in the river, as we were earlier discussing that, my brain said, walk us through those provisos that are here, and you know, we've had some discussion in regarding what happens if they make a good faith effort to find it, and you know, how do the words on the page guide us when we have that discussion, you know, 6 weeks or 6 months from now?
Well,
that
Chairman,
they couldn't find one.
On pages 28 and 29 of the permit, that's where the language regarding the receiving water monitoring evaluation is. And the permit requires the discharger to submit their work plan by September 1, 2009. And it has quite a bit of language, but on the top of page 29, the last paragraph of that section says, if the discharger does not demonstrate reasonable progress towards completing a plan, then receiving water limits would apply at the discharge outfall beginning October 1, 2011. But within that language, we tried to recognize the fact that the discharger could make a good faith effort and not meet that deadline, and if that's the case, the permit language leaves the flexibility, you know, to provide the amount of time that's needed to do this right. So their work plan would need to start by laying out a time schedule, and that's something, you know, where there is flexibility to modify that schedule if they're making a good faith effort on this.
And how do you describe, or what do you see constituting good faith effort? Or
I would see that as, you know, constituting, you know, that they set out a plan that of reasonable things to look at, such as looking at possible changes in physical location and laying out other possibilities, such as evaluating the potential for use of models or other methods, and documentation that they've done that. If, you know, if they move forward on those things and document that the reasons why the things that they set out to do didn't work, then, you know, we would enter into discussions and provide the opportunity for them to modify their work plan to look at other options.
All right. The discharger raised 22 additional reports over the life of the permit.
I think you'll find in as we renew permits, in order to meet current regulations and policies, that every permit is seeing increases in their reporting requirements, and that's part of implementing, you know, current regulations.
Right. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair, I would just again affirm that, you know, on page 32 of the permit, we're giving them till September 1st, 2009 to evaluate groundwater monitoring wells that are already in place with a limited number of wells on 17 acres, and they're relying almost wholly, it seems to me, at this time on land disposal, not reclamation, land disposal, with seven times the water that is agronomic on Northwood. And if that is not deemed to be an adequate monitoring well network, we go further and say that they could go to September 2010. So my concern is that we have a groundwater monitoring well network here that is relatively simple and straight ahead, and that it shouldn't be that hard of an issue to evaluate the effectiveness of those wells construction-wise and ability in a hydrologic and geologic sense to adequately monitor what's happening here. And I would just ask that we try to get that done sooner than later, that we have an adequate monitoring well network in place here and monitoring on this property for groundwater is done in a timely manner.
And staff would agree. Are you recommending moving these dates up
in accordance with September 1st, 2009, and I appreciate the work that's been done at this site. I'm not, you know, I think that this site, it seems to me, makes pretty good water. It's a storage and disposal problem, it seems to me, is the main problem with this facility. And it is relying heavily on the Birch property, which is a limited property in pretty close location to the Russian River, with a tremendous amount of water being put on it with an existing monitoring well network. I don't necessarily want to tighten this. I'm just asking that I think this should be done within the confines of what we're looking at sooner than later.
And we definitely agree with you
Thank
on
you.
That.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Hale.
Can I get staff's opinion on what Ms. Ailman had described as a slope stability issue with the discharge of water, the overland discharge? Is that, in your opinion, is that a significant issue that warrants further investigation, maybe in parallel with the timeline that Mr. Noren is suggesting? I don't know the area too well, so if we're talking about, you know, a very steep slope that things are being discharged on, that could potentially create a slope failure,
right,
or if it's...
I believe that Ms. Edelman's comment was on slope stability in relation to, Ms. Brenda, the equalization basin project, mm-hmm, and not so much the current irrigation on that property. I've been out to the property just once to see the irrigation, and the irrigation on the upper Birch property appears to be pretty minimal. It's the lower Birch that receives the bulk of that land disposal irrigation. So again, Brenda's comments were more focused on her concerns in relation to the EIR and that equalization basin project.
It was my misunderstanding of the area she was talking about.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's a lot here, so that's understandable.
Okay, thank you.
I will raise one issue in the white pages, page 16. Response to comments. If you find yourself to comment A29 towards the top of the page, that's the sentence above it. The concluding sentence of the first, conducting source control functions identified in permit is more costly than the cost associated with. I think in this case, more is less.
That would be correct. Less.
It appears that the word should be less.
Thank you.
Okay. There is a lot here, but we're ready to move to action, I take it. So, Chair will entertain a motion. Or we do have corrections to make sure that they're part of what we're acting on. We have late.
Your opening paragraph there regarding the 0.71. That was included in your
correction. Staff want to alter that at all at this point?
I think it would be worth modifying that now if you could add that to your motion to revise that to 0.51. I think that would help clarify that issue.
So it's just a change of the number 7 to 5? Is that what?
It makes the rest of the document more consistent. Fluent. Consistent.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I may try this. Move for adoption of the Russian River CSD and Sonoma County Water Agency Russian River Wastewater Treatment Facility NPDES Permit Number California 002405A WDID Number 1B820450SON with the text amended by the staff and with all the subsequent changes, multiple changes we have by staff being incorporated into the motion. Does that, and then I'll throw that to legal counsel, is that good enough to properly reflect the changes?
I believe so, yes.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.